listening to a podcast from The National.
This is Extra Time. I'm Chitranu Kadlail, Assistant Sports Editor at The National. It was a groundbreaking week for sport in the UAE. Expatriates will soon be eligible to join local clubs and represent the country in all sports as per new regulations announced by the government last week. I spoke with Chirag Suri, an Indian-born cricketer who has played for the national team since 2014, about what this decree means and what impact it will have on the cricket scene in the country. We discussed this, as well as the UAE's continued success on the global stage and his experience in last year's Indian Premier League. Take a listen. Could you give us a little of your backstory? I'm told you were born in Delhi, but what were the circumstances that brought you and your family to the UAE?
Yeah, obviously, you know, born in Delhi, and I was there for 10 years. Then my father saw an opportunity in Dubai, and you know, like a lot of families do in the Middle East, we were one of them, and you know, we shifted shop here and we moved to Dubai. I was in modern school over here, modern Jabbar World Academy now it's called, and then I moved on to Repton, and this I played you know, obviously junior cricket since I was in Delhi. My father introduced me to the game. He was a very, very passionate cricketer. Played you know, in his university in Middlesex and second county division as well. So, you know, he put his passion and his knowledge into me while I was growing up. And I think a lot of the people you see, I think a lot of the cricketers, they have very passionate fathers who've been cricketers as well.
Right.
So I was one of them as well. I guess, you know, what a family member can do, no coach can. You know, he left no measures training me and left no stone unturned, you know, whether it be waking up in the morning at 5 o'clock and going for practice, or, you know, just in the backyard, you know, throwing some balls at me. So we were very, very happy that I had a coach in him, you know, who could guide me all the way through. And even when, you know, you move to Dubai and, you know, there's a lot of work commitments and everything, he still managed to take out time for me, you know, came to watch my games, whether it be Sharjah, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, all around the world. So I was just really happy that, you know, it's all come together now. And obviously last year was a breakthrough year for me and my family. More than me, I think my family was very excited that obviously I was, you know, part of a IPL franchise.
Right.
And, yeah, just... And then, you know, the World Cup qualifiers, the UAE did so well,
mm-hmm.
being part of all that squad and everything. Of course, it's a great feeling. I think this is these are the moments that you work so hard for. Cricket at times can be not as rewarding as, you know, you work, but you live for such days, because you can put a year's hard work and it comes down to, you know, one over, one ball.
Right.
So, yeah, it's you know, part of the game, I guess, and that's why we all love it, the excitement. And we've seen that in the IPL this year, you know, with the last over and the last ball finishes.
Right.
So just, yeah, I mean, excitement, and that's what cricket is. I think no sport has this kind of experience for anyone, whether it's the player or the spectator.
Mm.
That's what makes this game great, I guess.
Yeah. Going back to your background, is it fair to say that you played cricket for as long as you remembered? Or do you remember the time when you picked up a bat for the first time?
No, I think you'd be right to say, I think from the time, I probably remember that's when I started playing cricket. I think it was 4 or 5 years old, you know, my birthday gift or back gift, like, was a cricket bat. And then since then, I think I never left it. I've had plenty of those now since then. And yeah, I guess in a lot of years that I've been playing cricket, and it's what I was passionate about since I was young, and really happy to make it my profession now.
Right.
With the UAE. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. You mentioned that point about making it a profession. Was there any stage?
Yeah.
Was there a particular time as you were coming up through the grade levels that you actually thought you could actually play international cricket?
No, obviously, you know, the aim was always there to play international cricket, and I've been lucky enough, you know, to perform at junior levels and get that exposure early on. Not a lot of cricketers, when they're at a younger age, you know, especially in the UAE, they get to play an Under-19 World Cup. You know, we were host. The amount of cricket that I got to play, probably not a lot of the youngsters will get to play. Just really fortunate, to be honest, that from a young age, I was at that platform to play international cricket, especially with the infrastructure of the UAE and the grounds we have here. All that has come up so nicely in the last couple of years. I think it's benefiting all the youngsters from UAE. That's
right.
Why we're seeing the growth in the standards and everything in the UAE, which is excellent for the country as a whole, because we're such a large Asian population. So many people who love the game. There's, you know, corners of the UAE where you and I would have never gone, but there's cricket happening over there, you know. So it's amazing. Yeah. There's so much cricket being played. It's just like, it's like, you know, the Maidans of Mumbai. They're the Maidans of Umal Quwain and Ajman, which we haven't even seen before. Right. And there's cricket going on over there. And it's very, like, you know, competitive cricket.
You were considered one among a generation of cricketers who has been homegrown. Do you see more cricketers like yourself coming through the grade levels?
Oh, definitely. I think, especially now, you know, with the system that we're trying to get into place, you know, with the under-19, under-16, the interstate tournaments and stuff like that. I think this is really important to see growth in the country. From a young age, you have to play competitive, good quality cricket. Mm-hmm. Because that's when you come to know potential. There's no point hammering a team when they have they don't have that talent or they don't have that ability that you have.
Right.
You only get better when you play against good people. So by doing this, by combining states and playing interstate tournaments, I think you're playing quality cricket. I think that's the way forward. And I think there's only many more homegrown cricketers to be seen in the near future. I think over there we probably relied on expats coming through at older ages, but now I definitely going forward, I see more and more homegrown talent coming through because of the things that have been put into place. Yeah.
What about Emiratis, Chirag? Because you've obviously you've spent more than a decade of your life in the UAE, and when you played grade level cricket, did you find a lot of Emiratis that you played with? And did you ever think, or do you still think, that at some point you will start finding more and more Emiratis taking up the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the UAE now we're hosting these big tournaments. You know, the fact that you have to initially get that buzz created among the locals. I think that buzz will be created only as and when they're seeing, the game is becoming popular in the region and in the country. Mm-hmm. By, you know, the IPL being hosted, a number of leagues being hosted, a number of matches being played, you know, by the English Cricket Board as well. So there has to be that buzz being created, which I'm seeing now. And, you know, more and more people are being aware, because I speak to a lot of local friends, you know, in my school and stuff. They had workers who always play cricket, you know what I mean? So they know about the game, they know about cricket, they know about... It's all just about bringing them to the ground now. I think that's what we have to try to do more. And, of course, you know, they're very passionate. You know, the other day, I was with a couple of my friends from the Red Bull team. And, you know, there were three Emiratis who were representing the UAE in various fields. And, you know, they saw a bat with me. Then they started playing with me. You know, they wanted to hit the ball. And, you know, these things have to come. So they have to be brought to a place where they can nurture their game a little bit. And they enjoy the game.
You must have heard about the new rule that allows for expats to represent the UAE in all sports. But cricket and rugby have already, you know, for a very long time, they've had a large expat involvement, even at an international level. Yeah. So how do you think this decree will help cricket in the UAE in the long run? For instance, could this help change perceptions that Emiratis have about expat cricketers such as yourself giving it their all for the country?
You know, when you go forward for it, and there's always questions being asked that, you know, is this man representing the UAE, or is he representing his home country? Or, you know, there's always these questions. I think this will put down to those questions. Mm. If there has been some sort of discrepancy, or saying, you know, the locals, this guy is not a local, or he's not, you know, from here. I think that will become less. That will be good to see, because such rules will only make us, you know, feel more secure that we are giving so much that one day it will not just turn and, you know, they will be like, okay, you're not allowed to play. You know, now that is put aside. So I think it's a great initiative by the government and the sports ministry and Designer Sheikh Rayhan, I think, has, you know, put this in place. I think it's a great initiative for all of us. And going forward, this is what's going to help us. Because people who are living in the UAE for, you know, so many years, just like us, they're as much of a citizen as any of the locals. This is what I feel. Because we have, you know, grown over here. We have built over here. We have done everything over here. We have made families over here. And we are making more, you know. So this is how the country is. And we have to respect the country. And we all love the country. This is why we live here. You know, it's a very comfortable country to live in, and we're really, really proud to be representing the UAE. So every single person who puts on that jersey is, you know, really proud of that and works really hard to justify it.
Right, yeah. Ahmed Raza was talking to Paul Radley, you know, our sports reporter, and he mentioned this point about how he wanted Emiratis to see cricketers like, you know, yourself and Ahmed himself putting their bodies on the line, trying to field the ball and celebrating when they take a wicket against India and Pakistan. You know, where you come from and where Ahmed comes from.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, be proud of that the jersey that they're wearing, like you just said.
If I play a game against India, and I'm representing the UAE. I will give him 100%. That I'm representing the UAE, and I'm proud of that. And I'm, it's the same for him. He's a very passionate cricketer, and he loves. You know, we have memorized the national anthems in school. We are one of the few players, you know. So him, I know Ahmed as well. He puts his jerseys. He's very particular about all his caps. So we are very proud to be playing for the country.
So you've played a part in successive World Cup qualifying campaigns, you know, both for the 2015 World Cup as well as for the 2019 World Cup. Which one would you consider more special or memorable?
I think both have a special place in, you know, in my heart. I think it would just be really hard. It's like, you know, differentiating between two of your kids. That's how it is for a cricketer. It's very difficult to differentiate. But I think I played a more pivotal role in this World Cup qualifier. You know, I played a couple of good innings for the UAE. So I think I was definitely happy to do that this year round. And both of them have been excellent experiences for me and the whole team. I think it's good to see the team doing well. I think that's what matters. When the team does well, even if your individual performances aren't up to scratch, you still enjoy because the team is doing well. So I think the end of the goal should always be that the team should do well. I'm just really happy about that.
You did particularly well against the Netherlands. Can you take us through your thoughts before and during the innings that you played against them?
You know, obviously, you know, before going into the game against Netherlands, I wasn't sure if I was going to play. And Paul actually mentioned that in an article which he had published. Mm-hmm. So going into a game where you don't quite know if you're going to play, you know, you go in with that mindset that there's nothing to lose. If you play, you have an opportunity. You don't see it as like, oh, I'm playing now, what do I do? You see it as, oh, I'm playing, I can actually do something. Even if I score one run, that's 100 times better than, you know, not playing. So obviously you see it as an opportunity, and I always see them as a positive opportunity when I'm going into such games. And I love the crucial games. You know, there was ODI status running on that game, mm-hmm. Qualifying for the Super 6 stage. The next 4 years of a lot of the UAE cricketers, coaches' journey was riding on that game. So playing in such a high-pressure game, I really enjoy it. I think I see it as an opportunity to excel and to make a name and to make a mark. So I was just really fortunate to be able to do that. I hit the winning run, so it was a next really, really good feeling. And I think it's a game I'll probably not forget for the rest of my life.
No, neither will we. But you know, when you start an innings like that, and you know, you obviously mentioned, you've alluded to the pressure that you were playing under. But when you go out to play an innings of that nature, do you simplify, mentally speaking? Do you just simplify? Do you keep all your thoughts away?
Yeah, of course. I think it's very important that you know what you're playing for. That's already in the back of your mind. You don't keep telling yourself that. Mm. Because it's second nature of a person to keep thinking about those things rather than thinking about the next ball. It's about very simplifying. I think the best cricketers in the world do that. They leave all those things aside and they play ball to ball. They play for the ball. They don't want to know who the bowler is or, you know, what's happening on the pitch. They just play ball to ball. I think that's very important, and that's what I'm learning to do. As the years go by, I'm able to focus on the ball rather than the bowler or the situation, for example. That's something I've been working on, and hopefully I'll get even better at it going forward. And that's how you're simplifying it, getting 5 runs. Getting your first 10 runs, getting the team's 50, getting the team's 75, or getting the team's 100 runs. So you work on slow targets like these. And then, you know, going forward, when you put the pieces together, you think about, oh, wow, I've already scored 60 runs, I've already scored 70 runs. Right. And the team is in such a good position now. So you just have to make smaller targets. I think we all do that, you know, whether we're working for a company or an organization, whatever it may be. We all have to put smaller targets to reach big ones. So it's the same when you go out to bat or bowl, I guess. You make small plans and then you you know, complete those and then you move forward.
So you know, you just mentioned talking about taking small steps at a time. Was that the prevailing psychology amongst the players and the coaching staff while you were in Zimbabwe and Kuwait? Rather than looking at what was on the line at the end of the tournament, you were just taking it, say, one game at a time?
Yeah, I think it's crucial, you know, in such long tournaments, you obviously know what the bigger picture is, what you want to achieve, but you have to obviously, you know, go game by game. And I think the coaches, the captain, and that's what they instilled into us, that, you know, we have to play game by game. Don't think about the next game. Don't think about qualifying for the Super 6. Don't think about qualifying for the World Cup. Just take it game by game. You make things as simple as possible. That's the key. You know, in Kuwait as well, we obviously went as favorites and we were expected to do well.
and the pressure is on us. And if we take that pressure onto us and say, oh, you know, if we lose, what's going to happen? Rather than you just focus on the process of what you have to do well, rather than thinking about all these things, and you play game by game, and then you obviously know that if you play to the abilities, if all the players play to a level, we will win the game. So that's what we focused on. You know, that's how it all came together. I think if everybody does their jobs and does their roles in the team, I think the team will, you know, fall in good stead. And that's what happened. We're good enough to do that.
But it's interesting you mentioned this because obviously the pressure that you felt playing in Zimbabwe and the pressure you felt playing in Kuwait were of a different nature, because you're going into Kuwait as favorites, as you said. And obviously we're all humans, and you know, it's easier to say it than to do it. Is it a challenge for you every single day, especially when you're part of a tournament, going in and trying to look at a match purely from the game's point of view rather than who you're playing against and what context there is?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. It's very easier said than done. Because when you go into a game and say against the West Indies, say probably the West Indies thought they were favorites in the World Cup qualifier. So we were telling, you know, as a joke, that we feel like the West Indies in Kuwait. So you never know when any team can upset you. Because in a 20-20 over game, you are out of the game for a couple of overs and the game changes. Or one batsman, you know, sticks in for a couple of overs, the game can change. So it's in such tournaments, especially the wickets we were playing, it was very, very important to be at, you know, during the whole 40 overs. We could not leave the step of the pedal, because whenever you do that and you give the other team to come in, a couple of bad overs for us, it can cost us the game, especially in those wickets.
You've obviously had a very memorable start to the year, but you obviously have Asian Cup qualification as your next challenge in Malaysia. Yeah. Does the fact that the tournament is being held, the Asia Cup tournament is being held in the UAE, add to the pressure of the challenge?
Looking forward to playing in the UAE, especially in a standard of a tournament that's, you know, equal to the Asia Cup. I think, you know, without saying it, all the guys know what they're playing for in this qualification in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation on us, and on the expectation which we have from us as well, you know, from within, that we want to do well and we want to be part of the Asia Cup. I think every single player is looking forward to it. I think it's such a platform, and can make you, like, you know, change lives. Like the coach says, our coach, he said, these are the games where lives change. So if we qualify and, you know, play in an Asia Cup, especially at home in the UAE, I think that'll be a big, big boost for UAE cricket. I think going forward, you know, with everyone in the UAE present, I think it's the families, our friends, you know, all the well-wishers, the whole cricketing community, to see their team, home team, UAE doing well in this. I think it will go forward for many years if we, you know, get into the Asia Cup. So let's see. We hope for the best. You know, going to Malaysia.
One life-changing experience for you was being drafted to play in the Indian Premier League last year, and you were playing for Gujarat Lions. Could you very quickly sum up your experience being with the team? You obviously couldn't get to play a game, but you spent a lot of time training and talking to a lot of these international cricketers. What was your experience, really? What were your takeaways from the experience?
Well, honestly, you know, like I said before, when at a young age, you get the experience of being around such greats of the game. Even just being around them, whether it's on the field or off the field, you learn so much. Because you're just picking up small things. It is about very, very tiny things. It's about doing the 1% or the 5% really, really well, and the rest of the stuff takes care of itself.
Same.
So when I went into a tournament like this, I first, of course, going there as a youngster, and you're obviously, like, amazed at, you know, what this tournament really is. Because until you go there, you don't realize the amount of fan following, all these kind of things, to learn how to deal with all these different pressures, which obviously keep you in good stead going forward. Mm-hmm. Now, if we are to play in the Asia Cup in the UAE, there's going to be massive crowds and all this. I would have experienced such a thing in the IPL. So it already gives me a step above the rest by playing in such a tournament. So I'm just really, really happy and grateful that I got an opportunity to be there. And, you know, obviously I picked up a small thing, and a lot of the people said that you're looking at a completely different player while coming back.
Yeah.
It's not that I played a lot of games there or anything. It's just that being around these people, you just get to learn so much. It's like transferring knowledge. From right, left, you have such greats, you know, Suresh Raina, whether it's Irfan Pathan or Sachin Tendulkar or Virat Kohli. You know, just by talking to these guys, you understand the body languages, the mentalities, how relaxed they are. I think I learned all of that from these guys.
Yeah.
To be at such high pressure situations, be relaxed. I think that's very, very important.
Unfortunately, you're not playing this year, but neither is your team. Gujarat Lions are now a defunct side. So is there a particular team you're following in the IPL this year?
I'm from Delhi. I would like to say Delhi, but I don't quite think the fortunes are going as well again this year. Underperforming team, but obviously from being from Delhi, I don't follow them. But I think Punjab is doing really well this year, and Chennai has been doing really well. I think good to see Punjab doing well. I think they've put a very good side together. I think Virendra Sehwag is being involved, and they've actually put a really good side together, especially for the ground they play in Mohali. So I think it's really good to see that one of the lower ranked franchises, as you call it. It's not the Mumbai Indians who's doing well again this year. Of course, Chennai is back and they're back with a bang. Obviously, with Dhoni's, he's just outplaying teams at the moment. He's just in some great form. I think it's good to see for Indian cricket point of view as well, leading into the T20 World Cup and all this kind of big tournaments that are coming now, and the World Cup as well. So it's really good to see that. Good for Indian cricket, and a lot of youngsters coming through. The leg spinner Markhande from Mumbai, he's impressed one and all. Really good to see. I think the IPL is a great platform. It's where talent meets opportunity. That was the tagline. So I think it's justifying that name. However, Chennai is a little experienced squad, as you may call it. But it's good to see that there's quality cricket and a lot of nail-biting finishes. So really good to see that.
My final question would be to ask you to make a bold prediction. Who do you think will win the IPL this year?
I think Chennai Super Kings.
Okay.
Just for the fact that Dhoni is in form, and when Dhoni is in form, it's their dangerous side to be.
A big thank you to Chirag Suri for having joined us today. This episode of Extra Time was produced by Kevin Jeffers. You can subscribe to Extra Time on Apple Podcast or your favorite podcasting app. You can continue to follow our cricket coverage on our website, thenational.ae, and on Twitter at NATSPORTUAE. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail.